Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com.
From hanselminutes.com, it's Hansel Minutes, a weekly discussion with web developer and technologist Scott Hanselman. This is Lawrence Ryan announcing show number 478. In this episode, Scott talks with Hansel Minutia veteran Richard Campbell.
Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. This is specifically Hansel Minutia, live number 16. This is the show about nothing with Richard Campbell.
We do it well, too. What is this, 16 of these, 15 of
16.
These?
It's ridiculous. Yeah. We've been doing this for a while. And, of course, since the advent of Google Hangouts, we record these live. So if you are hearing just our voices, you can certainly go up and check the show notes, and there will be a link to the live video show. So check that out as well. So, Richard, I just got back from Subway sandwiches.
Yes.
Five minutes ago.
And we had sort of a plan about this show, but now it's over. You're upset.
Yes, I'm very upset. So I'm sitting there at Subway on my work computer and I'm doing my thing and I get a prompt that says, that Adobe Flash is out of date. But I have Google Chrome and I know that Chrome includes a copy of Flash and that typically I shouldn't have to do that. Additionally, when I did that, my first impression is, oh, weird. I've got a toolbar virus or I've got something going on. So I look at the URL, but the URL is where I was going. So I didn't get it. I didn't get maliciously redirected. Right. I did not get redirected. I see, you know, foo.com hasn't changed.
Yeah.
So that's weird. So I do a view source and I start poking around and it all looks legit. Except at the bottom, it says bestsoftware.com or something like that. Bestfreesoftware.com. So I go and I hit download and it brings down this this virus that sends me off to some Russian malware site.
Oh, nice.
And it's evil. So now I'm freaking out and I'm like, wait a second. I just got this laptop a couple of weeks ago. I'm a reasonably smart person. I know my toolbars. I know my viruses. Start poking around in the task manager. Nothing weird. Okay.
Clean.
Could be a rootkit, but still don't feel right about that. What's going on? I continue surfing for a while and it happens again in a different browser.
Oh, wow. So not even bound to the browser.
So now I'm thinking, well, TDS or some network interceptor, and I'm poking around using auto runs from sys internals. I'm looking at the networking stack. And then I search for, I Google for, you know, weird Adobe redirects, right?
Yep.
And come upon this thread that suggests that the router may be the issue, which is extremely disturbing to me.
And you're at a Subway.
And I'm at Subway. But, you know, I'm in rural Oregon, so I go up to the guy who owns the Subway, and I'm like, hey, dude, because that's how I approach the owner of the Subway. I said, hey, man, you know, can I, tell me about your router. So he shows me the router, and he's got a whole weird Franken router kind of a situation. He's actually got two routers. He's got 192.168.1.1 for the register, and then I'm on 168.2.1. So he's got a router behind a router in, as a way of making kind of an AirSats guest network.
Right.
So he doesn't have a modern enough router to go and do guest networks correctly.
Right.
So I say, listen, you know, do you mind if I check out your, you know, your admin page? And, you know, he's seen me around. He knows I'm a good guy.
Not your first visit.
Not my first visit. Yeah. He knows, let's just say that they know they get my food started when they see my car pull up. So I start poking around and nothing's wrong. Looks totally fine. DNS is cool. It's not an obvious DNS hijack.
Right.
But it says copyright 2009.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
This is the router he got out of the box freaking 6 years ago.
Sure. Well, it still works.
Yeah. So I go to status, I get the number, and I go, that's fine. I'll just upgrade this guy's firmware, right?
Right.
So I go to the update firmware button, and I'm already concerned because it doesn't have the automatically update firmware.
Yeah.
It's the browse button. The modern way. Yeah. Go and look for the firmware. So I go looking. This is the latest firmware.
Okay. So you're up to date. What's
this guy, he's got the moon virus, a router worm that has infected his router. So then I got, and plus he's got two of these routers now. So I'm trying to figure out which router's got it. It's both the one, it's the one furthest upstream, in fact.
I'm sure both of them got it.
You think they both do? Yeah, probably true.
Because it's self-propagating.
That is a valid point, actually, even though one is downstream of the other.
Yeah.
So I'm scandalized. This is the same thing about the Internet of Things, right?
Yeah.
It's lovely, but all those things need to be firmware updated.
Yeah, sure. And the moon virus is new. It's like 2013, 2014. So there's no way whoever made that router could have anticipated. And their answer is going to be buy a new router, something that's protected. Yep.
Exactly. And I went over this. I spent about 45 minutes there. And I said, listen, man, I think you got to ask for a new router. Like, I don't see a way out. Now, here's the part where I think, you know, our very kind Twitter followers, some of which are watching the show right now, maybe missed the point a little bit because they say, oh, well, this is, you should just use, DDWRT or, you know, Open Tomato or whatever. It's like,
right. Well,
this is just regular person.
Yeah. Mortal.
They're
not
going to
customize the firmware.
It's not, I mean, no diminutive implied. He's just trying to do his job. You know what I mean?
Now, I think this falls on the Linksys, Netgear, Cisco's of the world, the guys who made this hardware that had the vulnerability, and they're just not fixing it.
Exactly. And the idea that I should go and flash it with an open source third party, thing, that'll solve the problem in the short term. But then think about this as we are all IT for our families and friends.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to get broken into, and then I got to go get an update to open WRT.
Yep.
Cause like these things happen. Every light bulb out there represents a threat.
These days,
and every year that goes by, it's like,
Well, this is the responsibility of the manufacturer. You made the money on this. You've got to pay the costs.
Manufacturers come and go though, right? I mean, think about right now, I can go down to Goodwill or, any thrift store and find one of the little rabbit ear blue Linksys routers.
Yep.
That's cool. And I can flash it with an open source firmware. But that's because that little blue Linksys router is the most popular router in the history of routers.
Yeah.
5 years from now, let's say that I stop by, Goodwill in 5 years and in 2020, which is impossible to conceive of that that's going to actually happen.
It's 5 years from now, man.
And I'm going to find a Nest or I'm going to find a light bulb.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, hey, cool. Free Internet of thing. Take it home. Oh, wow, that company went out of business. There's no updated firmware. It wasn't popular enough to have an updated firmware.
No protection.
So now it's just an infection I'm bringing into my house.
Well, if the router scares you, have you heard of Red Balloon?
No. What is that?
Red Balloon was a French security movie. Firm. Yeah, not 99 Left Balloons. But now these were a bunch of white hats that did a demonstration a few years ago where they created a malformed Word doc, printed it on an HP printer, took advantage of a buffer flow, rewrote the firmware for the printer, and then made the printer constantly seek on the same location until the printer caught fire.
Until it caught fire?
Yeah. It just like... Until it smoke fire.
Okay.
So it they was made like a less dramatic version where what it did was send a copy of every document that you printed on that printer to another site. How's that for corporate espionage?
That is disturbing. The physicality of these things is weird, I've got this insulin pump, and people can break into that and do something with it. It's just not a big enough or interesting enough target.
It's really pretty interesting, Scott.
Well, the point I'm making is that the idea that one could attack the physicality of a thing.
Yes.
And in the example of the printer, make it move fast enough that it would cause friction and therefore
and burn.
Burst into flames.
Well, there's a story, going back to the Cold War, where one of the ways the CIA spied on the Soviets is that they were maintaining all their photocopiers. And so they took copies of everything that was copied. Well, this is a digital version of that. I can infect your printers with stuff that will give you copies of everything you print.
You know, I just remember when I used to go and throw, you know, I would see open printers like in the neighborhood and just say, yep. Hey, your printers, you know, and I would send them.
The early days of broadband, I took it upon myself to drop documents on people's desktops that says, look, your machine's wide open. See this? I was here. Would you like me to format your drive? Because I can.
So what do I do? This is my local subway. This is conference room B. This is where I go and, you know, eat and surf.
I'm thinking of my 5 point.
But you understand, though, that this is the part where I think we all can relate.
Yeah.
I can't leave this broken. I have to fix this guy's router.
Yeah, and it means you've got to replace his router.
Yeah, which means I'm now the guy. You know what
I
mean?
Well, the new routers, you know, you stay in the Linksys line. You know, the WRT2500AC.
That's an expensive router, though.
Yeah, but for $200, like, it's a good one. It's self-updating. It's maintained. It's got the guest network. It's got all the features he actually wants.
But from the perspective of the user, but the one that Frontier gave me or the one that CenturyLink gave me was free.
Yeah, you know, it's garbage.
It's not fair. And it's, you know, it's like someone goes and buys a car and I say, hey, Richard, I just got a great Toyota Camry. And since you know cars, you go, well, that's crap. Swap the engine out. You know,
Camry's a pretty good car, actually.
But you see what I'm saying, though. You know,
to your point, the free car, probably not as good as the car I paid for.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, but yeah. I keep coming back to non-technical parent, yep. Non-technical relative. I just think that the internet is a thing that's supposed to work. Yeah. And there's all these great pieces of advice that people gave me. They're like, well, you could just VPN or, you know, you could use this or use that. There's all sorts of things I can do locally.
Yes.
That doesn't solve it for that person, though.
No.
So that makes me sad.
And it's not going to either.
I'm looking in the Q&A here. If you click on the Google Hangout on the left-hand side there, the Q&A blue button.
Yep.
People have noticed that I have got the crud. You can hear it in my voice.
Yeah.
You know, do you remember when a cold was a couple of days?
Yeah.
And a little bit of tea? And now it's like five weeks of of thinking through a fog.
Well, they're evolving too.
Yeah, exactly. I think I may literally have caught this cold from this router at some point. Seriously, it would not surprise me if I have
Like freaked out Skynetsman. It's kind of fun.
Well, then this is the other thing, though, and this is why InfoSec is such a funny place.
Yeah.
That people who are maybe listening who are InfoSec people are probably like, rolling their eyes so hard that they can see the back of their brains.
Yep.
That like, oh, man, someone's finally caught the InfoSec thing. Well, it's because there's so much fear-mongering going on. Yeah. You know, it's just like everything is insecure. You know, you're just completely, it's all tinfoil hat.
Yep.
The part that's disturbing is when you discover that it's all true.
Yes.
Like everything they've been telling us is totally true. Like,
well, you notice I'm wearing the Run As Radio shirt because this is what we do on that show. I've actually had a pineapple demonstrated to me.
Mm-hmm.
Where we walked into a Starbucks and just
Troy Hunt
picked up a dozen accounts in 30 seconds.
Yep. Yeah. Read Troy Hunt's blog on the pineapple and how you can set up a honeypot. They're just wonderful.
Yeah.
Amazing. My dad always says, just because you're paranoid doesn't mean they're not after you.
It's true.
Which is basically what's happening. So.
Yeah. Yeah. You're not wrong.
What was the original thing we were supposed to talk about on this episode?
Google I.O.
Sorry. Like,
no.
You know, this is bigger than someone is wrong on the internet.
Yeah.
This is, you know, there's a problem at my local, subway. Like, you know, like here, my friend Jackie Alcine just retweeted, the internet is just the thing that should work. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like, I don't turn on water in my faucet and assume that it's got a rootkit and a virus. I'm sure it probably could.
Yep.
You could get sick from it, but it's just, you know, water, shelter, internet.
Yeah.
It just feels like I should be able to expect
and
a
yet
minimum
we have
level
problems
of service.
With water quality. We have problems with electricity quality. Like all of our utilities struggle. This is just another utility. We're still not recognizing the utility.
Yeah. Very frustrating.
Yeah.
Okay. So thank you for letting me get that. I'm looking at the waveform here and I see that's all me talking.
Yeah.
And there's Richard's going, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Okay. You've been very patient.
You had anxious moments, and I understand that. And I've been watching these firmware viruses for a while because it's an ongoing problem with no good answers. You know, in the end, Trusted Computing Initiative is supposed to deal with this. Yep. But they've had so much pressure from people not liking it that it's been kind of undermined. Like Hewlett Packard should be doing this on all their printers. Like should be doing it on their routers. Like there's a solution, but there's been so much resistance to it. They're just not applying it.
Yep. And if you look at the supply chain, you know, Frontier, who mm-hmm. just happens to be my internet provider.
Yep.
They don't care. Like, I don't even think, you ever feel like your internet provider just doesn't really feel like being in the business?
Yeah. Well,
you know what I mean, it's just like,
it's a utility. Every touch of you, the customer, costs them money. Right? That's the price of being a utility.
That is so freaking true. People are like, I'm so upset that I don't get 24 hours, 7 day a week, perfect 99.59s internet providing, from my host. And I pay them $4.95 a month. You know what I mean? Unacceptable.
Yeah.
You know? And then, oh, hey, well, Azure's $15 a month. Unacceptable. Too much money. And then one phone call.
Yeah.
We've blown the profit and margin some, is gone.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So close.
Yeah.
And then, I have business class internet in the house because I run my own server closet because I'm insane. I get pretty good service from my providers. But I spent a substantially larger amount of money with them.
I want to take a moment to thank our sponsor, SyncFusion. SyncFusion's mobile, web, and desktop controls are trusted worldwide. But did you know that they also provide educational resources? The Succinctly series of free ebooks has great content on popular technologies in 100 completely ad-free pages. These books are written by industry experts, and topics range from Cassandra to Node.js to Windows 8.1. They are available for Kindle apps and in PDF format, and new ebooks are released each month, so browse their library at syncfusion.com to download your free ebook today. Nobody wants to pay for anything. When I bought my first computer with my own money, I mean, I had a Trash 80 and I had a C64, but when it was time to really grow up and become an adult, I went out and I bought it. I got a loan from US Bank for $2,000 and I bought a 486. And the big controversy was like SX or DX, but a DX33.
DX all the way, man.
I might need to do that. And I bought this $2,000 computer and it was fine. It was a great computer, but it's 486 right now.
Yeah.
If I buy a $2,000 computer now, all my neighbors are buying $499 machines from Walmart, and they expect the world.
Yeah.
And, hey, here's a true story. My wife had a laptop, 18 months old, mm-hmm. turns it on last week, and a weird pop-up comes up that says, your battery has now ended its life.
It's done.
I mean, it was just the weird. It's like, Elf shot the food. Like, what the hell? So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll get a new battery for your phone or for your laptop. So I go online, thousands of people with the same problem.
Right.
This battery has built-in firmware in the damn battery. Excuse my French. That says I can be recharged, 272 times or whatever.
Right.
And she's recharged. And it's just like, I'm done. End of life. So I'm like, okay, I guess I'll replace the battery. Nope.
No,
user serviceable parts inside. So then I got to order, because my wife wants it fixed, right? So that means it's going to get
done. She's not going to care about the details. Tech boy, fix this.
Exactly. So I go and order a new one, and every step of the way, the laptop manufacturer is threatening me. Like, don't do this. It's going to be bad. And I'm going to get warned. Like, I'm going to go and get this aftermarket Chinese battery. I'm going to plug it in and their little software thing's going to go, this is not one of our inkjet printer cartridges.
Yep.
You have to, don't try refilling your inkjets.
Yes.
It messes with our profit margin.
XYZ.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Anyway, I bought the battery and it works. But it's the principle of the thing.
You also know. That's just one part. Like, more's going to break. The machine's old enough now. Stuff's going to unravel. Like, rarely have I found that it's worth upgrading stuff. Just replace it. It's done.
But that is unacceptable. That is the
You are a WRT guy, aren't you? Go patch that firmware.
But I'm a Portlander, yeah. And I'm a tree hugger,
yeah.
And I don't like waste. You know, I mean, yes, I have a lot of gadgets and stuff, but yeah. Every single one of them, I'm always looking for a home.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to get rid of something if I can avoid it, and it just offends me to toss it. And I'm very careful about hazardous materials and batteries yeah. and stuff like
and
that.
You,
you know,
you resell your old Kindle, gonna get the new Kindle. Like you're pretty yeah. diligent.
Pay it forward. Yeah. So the idea that a laptop is like a MacBook is, you know, just yep. Yeah. Can't replace it. I've got a MacBook here and the battery, it says it's at like 43%.
Right.
Like that's the usable life of the battery. And you know how these batteries get to the point where it's like, you've got 12% click.
Yeah. But and the point I'm making about replacing the battery is, you know, the fans are failing. You know, the SSD's at its limits. You know, the casing material is going to start to crack. You know, the plugs are loose. The power adapter's broken. Like, this is what happens. You spend the money to put a new battery. I just did this. I put an SSD in an old laptop.
Mm-hmm.
The fans failed, right? We got another 6 months out of it after spending $100 on an SSD. Now the fan's done. And I can't really replace the fan. It's really hard.
This is where we're no longer like the young, wide-eyed people. This is where I go straight, get off my lawn. You know what I mean? So I go and try to buy some G.I. Joe men for yep. my kids. You know, the little action people. I think they were Marvel.
When I say G.I. Joe. I have boys. I have girls. No G.I. Joes in my life.
Well, I mean, everyone's different. My niece loves G.I. Joe. Actually, she's got a bigger collection than we do.
Yeah.
But point is, I go and I get these G.I. Joe people. Their arms don't bend.
They don't do that anymore?
But think about that. Like, that's the canary in the coal mine. Like, let's get to the essence of it.
Right.
By the way, I feel like I'm one of those radio pundits right now. Like, I'm like Rush Limbaugh or someone who's on the radio. Like,
you're going down the path.
Let's talk about what's really wrong with America. G.I. Joe's joints no longer bend.
How could this be?
You know, I mean, 10, 15 years ago, they would have full articulation.
Right.
And now it's just like Han Solo in carbonite.
Yep.
And we think this is okay. And the worst part is that my kids don't know any better. You know, so it's like, wait a second, I can pay $13 for a single molded piece of plastic without bendable joints, right? And here's the funny part. Where are the action figures that do bend? Well, those are $50 and you buy them in Toys for Adults and you get them at the comic book store where, you know, 40-year-old nerds like me hang out.
Yep.
And God forbid you should take it out of its container.
Yeah.
You'd never give it to a child. You'd never give it to a child. They'd mess them up.
Well, that would mean it was a toy. What are you talking about? It's a collectible.
It is a collectible. Where are like the micro machines? Like, where are those toys?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, I got my little Halo guy here.
Hey, now we got Neduino.
This guy is like that's a $20 action figure.
Yep.
That's unacceptable, right? And did I show you this? This is my Samurai Darth Vader. I got this. They gave this to me for my birthday. I was in Japan for my birthday. And they gave me full-size articulated with force. And he's got interchangeable force hands.
Oh.
So he can, you know, I'm your father hand.
And he has a curved lightsaber. How can you curve a lightsaber?
No, it's because
it's a katana.
Samurai. Yeah. Samurai Darth Vader. It's fantastic. I love this guy. But, oh, his hand just fell off.
Oh, well.
You see? I just literally like, lost his arm. Well, that's in line with all of the Star Trek canon. You always yes. have to lose your right arm.
Yeah.
Every
got to go.
Every Star Wars has somebody losing an arm at some point. All right. Anyway.
You're looking forward to the new movie? I'm super excited.
I am looking forward to the new movie, but I'm still upset about Lupita Nyong'o, one of the world's most beautiful and talented women,
mm-hmm.
is all CGI. So
yeah.
if they pull a Jar Jar, I'm burning the whole place down. I'm burning it down. You're like, you know,
no
the revolution. Halfways. Revolution will happen.
Yeah, this
so
is it.
Unless she becomes like the Andy Serkis level of like she gets an Oscar for
right.
whatever character it
transcends
she's gonna play.
Everything.
But it just seems like a waste.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But I mean, Abrams made a lot of models. He's not George Lucas. He's not going to go all digital and everything. I have faith in Abrams.
Do you have faith in Abrams?
Yeah.
I feel like there's going to be a lot of lens flare. That's all I know.
Yeah. Well, I liked his Star Trek reboot. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It was good, but he actually apologized later for apologize later for too much lens flare. He did. Seriously, go look for Abrams and lens flare. Yeah, and he's like, yes, I'm sorry.
I know.
Yeah.
That's I'm looking forward to it, but I know.
Yeah. I'm still upset.
Too funny.
Ah, what a mess.
And see, I went and saw the new Mad Max film.
Oh, my goodness. You mean Furiosa 1?
Yeah.
I thought Mad Max was really good. Like,
I thought so too.
It took a minute to like absorb it.
Yeah.
But
you know what? It's the first movie I've seen in a very long time where I was okay coming out of it. And a day later, I'm like, I got to go watch that again. I missed some stuff.
You know, that's a really good way to put it. I felt like what happened? What just happened?
What just happened?
Okay.
You know, well, in the sense that there's so much more story we didn't see. The relationship between the three brothers, there's so much stuff going on in there.
It makes you feel like either it was really just brilliant filmmaking and they trust us as viewers to not be idiots. There was no obvious callbacks or anything that, you know, like in your face. They just let you assume stuff. They were very judicious about telling, like every character had a name, but they weren't in your face. They didn't keep repeating the names.
And some they didn't even mention.
Yeah, but they, the thing that, I don't know, it passed the Bechdel test, where all the women were having conversations together. There was one scene where there were 12 women all talking and not talking about men, which is the Bechdel test.
Yeah.
It was good. I think that, I did feel that having, was it Tom Brady?
Yep.
Bane?
Mm-hmm.
I like him, but is that his thing now? Is to star in a film and have six lines?
Well, that was the Mad Max thing. Like, in some sense, they were Bane really loyal to the original Mad Max. You know, I love the idea that they named the movie after a guy who's really a supporting actor. You know, there's a whole other story going on there that he's largely trying to avoid. And then when he finally goes, all right. And then gets involved, and then he leaves.
And he is not interested in
nope.
anything. Like, he not just enough. Wants to cover his own butt and make sure that he is safe, right?
Yep.
Yeah, I thought it was great. But I kept, because I can of him as Bane now, I've always, you know, in my mind, everything that he would say, I would say it over again in Bane's voice. Yeah. You know, oh, yes. I was wondering what would break first. So just everything Mad Max would do, I could hear Bane in his voice. I was born in the darkness. So I don't know.
What happens if you get typecast from one film?
And I watched it again recently, and you can't even tell it's him. You know what I mean?
No,
it could have been anybody. It could have been anybody.
Well, I'm not over the cat. The Bane cat wrecked me.
Bane
now,
cat.
Anytime I hear the Bane character, it's Bane cat.
Yes, I would encourage everyone to stop watching what we're doing immediately and go and search for Bane cat.
Bane cat.
And
it'll change your life.
It will change your life. He's got t-shirts as well. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's brilliant.
Oh my God. I feel so cathartic to talk to you. I just feel like sometimes I just need to call a Canadian and just...
We're here for you.
Just go out. Just, oh my goodness. Oh,
here we are, Americans addict. You forget about us most of the time. Once in a while, you look up here and, wow, there's cool stuff over here. That's it.
Speaking of cool stuff, I got a package
in
the mail just minutes ago. Let me open it here.
Any idea what's in it?
I think if I can find a knife or... I think it is my Lenovo OneDock. I got a Lenovo X1. I'm opening this with a Lego. Yep. I don't have a knife, so I'm using a really sharp Lego.
Well, all Lego is sharp. Just step on it. You know.
Yeah. So I think it's a Lenovo OneDock. And this is nice because I wanted a docking station for my X1 Carbon.
Speaking of spending $2,000 on a computer.
Yeah. Don't talk to me about that. Oh, and this is lovely. I want to point out the size of the box. Okay.
Yes.
This is this giant box the size of a refrigerator.
Here comes Portland Boy again.
And then... Oh, there's another tiny
box.
Tiny box inside that has no business. Okay, so how many boxes are in here?
You know, yeah,
it's stupid.
It's all well and fine until your stuff is broken. Then you're why wasn't there more packaging?
There's more boxes.
Oh, is there really?
It's this big.
Okay,
that's all it is. They could have put it in an envelope with like a. they could have sent me this thing in a puffy envelope, a popping. Envelope. Here we go. So this is nice. This will now get, this is called the OneDock. It's got one connector.
Yep.
And it does power. It does multiple 4 USB 3s and DVI. No, pardon me. 6 USBs.
Yep.
Glorious. No drivers either. This is real. Yeah. The old one used to use display link technology, which is, you know, VGA over USB.
Yep.
This is legit. So look at that. Oh, wow. It's got display link. It's got DVI. It's got, I see 4 USB 3s and 2 USB 2s. All into one.
Pretty good.
Yep. I love it. I'm happy already. And no drivers, the word on the street is.
There you go.
So that is my my gadget today. So what I've been doing lately is alternating between the Surface Pro and the new third generation X1 Carbon, which I'm very happy with.
Yeah. People love their Lenovos.
You're not a fan? What are you rocking right now?
I've never been that guy. Yeah. But they were the only PC vendor that kept growing when the market was shrinking.
So this is
they make good stuff.
This is interesting. So I'm looking at this thing. Here's the power thing it came with.
Right.
Standard Infinity. Yeah. The Infinity.
Where's the brick thing?
Don't know.
There's got to be a brick somewhere.
Don't know.
Look for another box.
There's nothing here.
It'll be shipped separately.
Probably. Oh my goodness. Amazon always sends me those. What did you think of our packaging? Didn't think very much of your packaging, Amazon. I'm from Portland, so think about that. Oh, here's the brick. Here's the brick. Oh, and the brick is bigger than the dock. Also nice.
Yeah.
I knew
it would be.
I need to learn about electronic engineering and find out why this brick needs to be as big as this thing is.
I did that show. That's a geek out.
Really? What's in there? Yeah. Is it capacitors? What's going on in there?
It's a switching power supply. It tolerates the Japanese invented it because the Japanese have the worst electrical system in the world. Mm. They have 220 on the West Coast and 110 on the East Coast in different frequencies. And so they had to build these power supplies to take anything.
Mm.
And everybody uses them now because you make one with a different power plug and it works everywhere, but it's bigger.
I did not know that. Now, I hope that we're not going to hear from people who are, or the both of the people who are watching, that you just disrespected all of Japan's power grid.
Japan's power grid is a remarkable piece of work that has a huge legacy to it and is as bad as I'm describing.
Okay. So just want to make sure, direct anyone from Japan, you can direct your hate mail to Richard Campbell. Yeah, okay. I'm always careful.
Richard at poop.com.
I'm just saying, I don't want to make declarative statements about another power grid. I will, on the other hand, talk about Amazon's packaging problems.
Well, you demonstrate in front of us.
Yes, exactly. So I feel much better. I feel like I got a weight off my chest, even though you can't hear it. There's a resonance.
No.
You didn't. You
sound better.
You only spoke for like 6 minutes, which means I'm a lousy interviewer. But you're a great
this
therapist.
Is the conversations we always have.
But you're a great therapist.
I feel good about that.
How does it make you feel, Scott? I feel great. Oh my goodness. Well, what else do we want to talk about in our remaining few minutes?
In our remaining few minutes, I did a different kind of geek out that went out last Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
So, talk about that electricity show. When do you do the second one, right? Like you take a topic, you put together an hour on it, you hammer away on it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, 3 years later, when do I revisit it? And so we did this show that was just like, well, here's an update to electricity. Remember when I talked about this and this? Here's the new news. And then we talked a little bit about fusion power. And the big thing on the space side was SpaceX, Elon Musk, looking at you, Damian Edwards, he asked, is now allowed to fly payloads for the Air Force. So about a year ago, when SpaceX was getting good enough that they were going to be able to fly military payloads, United Space Alliance, or United Launch Alliance, this is Boeing and Lockheed working together, locked the Air Force into a 5-year, like 37 payload deal so that SpaceX couldn't play. And Musk got a little annoyed.
How is he going to solve that problem, though?
He was going to go to Supreme Court and sue and And this is the end of it. 2 years later, the Air Force is saying, hey, this is a pretty good rocket. We're going to fly it. And I'm hoping, this is the big deal. This has to encourage Lockheed to start thinking more commercially. They only do these military deals where it's time plus materials. Like, it's a fixed bid. And if you make all your deadlines, then you make a profit. which means there's no reason to save money, right? Like, don't be efficient because they'll always pay your costs as long as you make the dates.
And for people who don't know, Lockmart is a shortened Lockheed Martin, correct?
Yes. It's the makers of the Atlas V.
You know, Elon Musk is the closest thing we have to Tony Stark, and everyone says that, but it's totally true.
Yeah.
But, man, I love the guy waiting for the Iron Man suit, but
he's not working on it.
I did not enjoy his Powerwall speech at all.
Oh, yeah.
I just feel like too often we put the leaders of companies up as the speakers.
Yeah.
They should just hire somebody. Like,
let the pros do it. Let the pro speakers do it. Like, it's a different job.
Let some. So Elon Musk comes out and gives a very awkward, very uncomfortable speech about the Powerwall. Why don't we hire, you know, Kevin Hart or, you know, some actor who is equally passionate about that, you know, get Matt Damon up there to give a speech. I'd watch that. Like, why do we always feel the need to put the VP or whatever on stage to talk about something just because they happen to lead the team?
Like, well, Microsoft's got disease too.
Yeah, we do, you know, but I can't say that.
I can.
I mean, I can think it, but.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, the point is, hire a talking head.
Yeah.
I think.
Let the presenter do the job, communicate the message the most effective way possible, and then go build a product.
I would love to see Kevin Hart talk about the Powerwall. That would be awesome.
Nice.
That'd be cool. Oh, my goodness. Okay, cool. So, that's an episode, isn't it?
Again.
We had 32 viewers.
I'm happy about that. Thank you for watching.
Fantastic. All right, I'm going to do my exit with my voice one octave low.
All right.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes, and we'll see you again next week.